Stanley, I thought I gave you the list for Christmas dinner. What's this? No turkey because a bird flew. No nut roast because someone might be allergic to it. No sprouts because of pesticides. So what have we got left here? Can you put a satsuma in the oven? Welcome to another edition of I'm a Public Health Professional, Get Me Out of Here. And what should drop into our inbox this week but the imaginatively titled Progress Towards Implementation of the Multi-Annual National Control Plan for the United Kingdom. And a right interesting read it is, although a little bit long at a mere 152 pages. Basically, it's the Food Standards Agency's way of telling the European Commission what's been happening in the last 12 months. Almost matching the Guinness Book of Records for facts, it tells us, for instance, there were 622,015 food establishments registered with local authorities last year, who carried out 524,491 interventions. There are 406 environmental health departments in the UK, meaning on average each one has 1,532 food premises to look at. When you consider that's only about 15% of the work, gives you an idea of the current strain local authorities are under. Add that to the Chancellor's budget statement, which some predict will see another 1 million public service jobs disappear by the end of the decade, and it'll be worth keeping an eye on next year's figures. As well as producing reams of figures, the FSA did finally go through with their threat to name and shame supermarkets who were responsible for selling contaminated poultry, eliciting the Daily Mirror to come up with the typically understated headline, "Want to know how to beat the kitchen killers? Here are the best ways to stay safe when cooking." Oh, okay. I knew I couldn't resist it. So, here they are, poultry pickers. This year's Campylobacter Top of the Pops. Not half. At 7, it's Tesco's with 64% of poultry contaminated. In at 6, it's Marks and Spencer's with 67. The top 5 now, and there's a tie between Waitrose, Sainsbury's and Morrison's with 69%. At number 2, it's the Co-op with 75%. This week's number one in the Campylobacter chart, it's Asda, with a whopping 78% contamination rate. Technology has changed most careers over the years, and now environmental health officers can take advantage of a new app that could revolutionise the way they deal with noise nuisance cases. The Noise app, produced in association with consultancy company RH Environmental, allows members of the public to record and log noise nuisance on their mobile phones, making it easier for local authorities to gain enough evidence to take cases to court. Among a number of local authorities taking advantage of the new technology are Elbridge Borough Council, who recently scooped the top award at the John Connell Awards held by the Noise Abatement Society. The awards, nicknamed the Noise Oscars, recognise organisations and individuals for their outstanding efforts to reduce the impact of noise nuisance and pioneer practical and innovative solutions to noise pollution. 4 other authorities were nominated, along with Elmbridge, Milton Keynes, Cornwall, Maidstone and Medway. Industrial air pollution could be costing the UK economy and the NHS as much as £10 billion every year. Well, that's according to a new report by the European Environment Agency, which compared costs across Europe associated with poor health, lost working days and reduced crop yields. They found that only Germany and Poland had a greater impact on the environment than the UK, where the Drax power station in Selby ranked as the EU's 5th most polluting process. 8 of the 30 biggest sources of air pollution infection over in Germany, 6 in Poland and 4 in Romania. The report concludes that half of all the environmental and health costs were caused by just 1% of Europe's industrial plants. It seems like the controversy over fracking will run and run after the government's chief scientific officer, Sir Mark Walpole, compared the potential risks from the process to those posed by asbestos and thalidomide. Professor Walpole said history presents plenty of examples of innovation trajectories that later proved to be problematic. For instance, involving asbestos, benzene, thalidomide, dioxins, lead in petrol, tobacco, many pesticides, mercury, chlorine, and endocrine disrupting compounds. In all of these and many other cases, delayed recognition of adverse effects incurred not only serious environmental or health impacts, but massive expense and reductions in competitiveness for firms and economies persisting in the wrong path. The report, not surprisingly, recommends that more should be invested in renewable energy options to reduce potential risk to the public. In November, the anti-fracking lobby in the United States won a significant victory when the town of Denton in Texas banned the practice within the town limits. Significance of that is that Denton is placed on the giant Barnett Shale formation and is considered by many to be the birthplace of fracking. There are now more than 2 million people in the UK using e-cigarettes. The positive news is that only 0.14% are smoking for the first time, according to the Office for National Statistics. News has gone some way to easing fears that e-cigarettes would in fact encourage non-smokers to take up the habit. There is no cause for complacency, though, according to Public Health England's Dr. Kevin Fenton, who has called on balanced and effective regulation of products so that consumers can be assured of their quality and safety. While fears that more adults will take up smoking seem to be unfounded, same can't be said about children. The recent survey in Wales finding that of 1,600 pupils aged 10 to 11, 6% admitted to trying e-cigarettes, which compares to just 2% who had tried regular tobacco. Finally, without doubt, the headline of the year so far appeared in the Daily Telegraph. Not always known for its headline grabbers, but they surpassed themselves with "Monkeys Go Bananas as Supermarket Stops Selling Them Cut-Price Food." Yes, this is the story of the Wales Ape and Monkey Sanctuary in Abercave near Swansea, where keepers have recently been banned from buying waste food at 10% of the retail price. You've guessed it. On health and safety grounds. Despite sanctuary boss Jan Garen saying, "It's health and safety gone mad. There's no way we would feed the monkeys anything that we thought might put their health at risk. I use the same principles when preparing the monkeys' dinner as I do my own. If it smells and looks okay, then I serve it." And Jan, we're right with you. See you in a couple of weeks.
There's a fruit man on our street whose name is Mr. Pete. And he keeps good things to eat, but you should hear him speak. When you ask him anything, he never answers no. He just yeses you to death, and then he takes your dough.
Oh, yes!
We know God of the banana. We know God of the banana today. We got a little beans and a bigger beans and a red, the beans and a white, the beans and all kinds of beans and say, we got the old-fashioned salami. We even got the Brooklyn pastrami.
Oh, yes!
We know got the banana. We know got the banana today.
I'm a Public Health Professional. Get Me Out of Here is written, presented and produced by Pete Hill. All comments are personal and do not relate to any other body. This podcast is protected by a Creative Commons license. Any unauthorised reproduction for commercial gain is strictly prohibited.
Oh, yes!
We have no bananas.
We have no bananas today.